Okay, Glory, by Elizabeth Baer, narrated by Richard Poe.
Day zero. My bathroom scale didn't recognize me. I weigh in and weigh out every day when it's possible. I have data going back about 20 years at this point. So when it registered me as guest, I snarled and snapped a pic with my phone so I would remember the number to log it manually. I'd lost a half pound, according to the scale, and on a whim I picked up the shower caddy with the shampoo and so on in it. I stepped back on the scale, which confidently told me I'd gained 7.8 pounds over my previous reduced weight, and cheerily greeted me with luminescent pixels reading, "Hello, Brian." Because what everybody needs from a scale interface is a smiley. But hey, I guess it's my own company that makes these things. They're pretty nice if I do say so myself, and I can complain to the CEO if I want something a little more user-surly. I should, however, really talk to the customer interface people about that smiley. I didn't think more of it, just brushed my teeth and popped the melatonin, and took myself off to nest in my admittedly enormous and extremely comfortable bed. Day one. Glory buzzed me awake for a priority message before first light, which really should not have been happening. Even New York isn't at work that early, and California still thinks it's the middle of the night. And I'm on mountain time when I'm in my little fortress of solitude, which is like being in a slice of nowhere between time zones actually containing people and requiring that the world notice them. As far as the rest of the United States is concerned, we might as well skip from UTC-6 to UTC-8 without a blink. All the important stuff happens elsewhere. That's one reason I like it here. It feels private and alone. Other people are bad for my vibe. So much maintenance. So it was O-Dark-30, and Glory buzzed me. High priority. It pinged through and woke me, which is only supposed to happen with tagged emails from my assistant Mike and maybe three other folks. I fumbled my cell off the nightstand, and there were no bars, which was inconceivable, because I built my own damned cell tower halfway up the mountain, so I would always have bars. I staggered out of bed into the master bath, trailing quilts and down comforters behind me, the washed linen sheets tentacling my ankle. I was so asleep that I only realized when I got there that, first, I could have just had Glory read me the email, and, second, I forgot my glasses and couldn't see past the tip of my nose. I grabbed the edges of the bathroom counter, cold marble biting into my palms. "Okay, Glory, project that email. 300% mag." Phosphorescent letters appeared on the darkened mirror. I thought it was an email from JC, my head of R&D. Fortunately, I'm pretty good at what my optometrist calls blur recognition. I squinted around my own reflection, but even with the magnification, all I could really make out was JC's address and my own blurry, bloodshot eyes. I walked back into the bedroom. "Okay, Glory," I said to my house. "Hey, Brian," my house said back. "The coffee is on. What would you like for breakfast today? External conditions are 9 degrees Celsius, 5 knots wind from the southeast, gusting to 15. Weather expected to be clear and seasonable. This unit has initiated quarantine protocols in accordance with Directive 72. Breaker, Glory. Waiting. Quarantine protocols. Place a call." "I'm sorry, Brian," Glory said. "No outside phone access is available." I stomped over the tangled bedclothes and grabbed my cell off the nightstand. I was getting no signal, which was even more ridiculous when I could look out my bedroom's panoramic windows and see the cell tower, disguised as a suspiciously symmetrical ponderosa pine, limned against the pre-dawn blue. I stood there for 10 minutes, my feet getting cold, fucking with the phone. It wouldn't even connect to the wireless network. I remembered the scale. Okay, Glory, said I. What is Directive 72?
Directive 72, paragraph C, subparagraph 6, sections 1 through 17, deal with prioritizing the safety and well-being of occupants of this house in case of illness, accident, natural disaster, act of terrorism, or other catastrophe. In the event of an emergency threatening the life and safety of Mr. Kaufman, this software is authorized to override user commands in accordance with best practices for dealing with a disaster and maximizing survivability.
I caught myself staring up at the ceiling exactly as if Glory were localized up there. Like talking to the radio in your car, even when you know the microphone's up by the dome lights. A little time passed. The cold feeling in the pit of my stomach didn't abate. My heart rate didn't drop. My fitness band beeped to let me know it had started recording whatever I was doing as exercise. It had a smiley, too. Okay, Glory, I said. Make it a big pot of coffee, please. As the aroma of shade-grown South American beans wended through my rooms, I hunkered down over my monitors and tried to figure out how screwed I were. Which is when I made the latest in a series of unpleasant discoveries. That email from JC? It wasn't from her. Her address must have been spoofed, so I'd be sure to read it fast. I parsed right away that it didn't originate with her, though. Not because of my nerdy know-how, but because it read, Dear Mr. Kaufman, Social Security number, redacted. Address, redacted. This email is to inform you that you are being held for ransom. We have total control of your house and all its systems. We will return control to you upon receipt of the equivalent of $150 million in Bitcoin. Via the following login and web address. Redacted. Feel free to try to call for help. It won't do you any good. It was signed by T3RH1TZ, a cracker group I had heard of but never thought about much. Well, that's better than a nuclear apocalypse or the Twitter eschaton. Marginally. Maybe. I mean, I can probably hack my way out of this. I'm not sure I could hack my way out of a nuclear apocalypse. Long story short, they weren't lying. I couldn't open any of the outside doors. My television worked fine. My internet, well, I paid a lot for a blazingly fast connection out here in the middle of nowhere, which includes having run a dedicated T3 cable halfway up the mountain. I could send HTTP requests and get replies, but SMTP just hung on the outgoing side. I got emails in. Whoever hacked my house was probably getting them too, but I couldn't send any. It wasn't that the data was only flowing one way. I had no problem navigating to websites, including their ransom site, which was upholstered in a particularly terrible combination of black, red, and acid green. And clicking buttons, even logging in to several accounts, though I avoided anything sensitive. But I couldn't send an email, or a text, or a DM, or post to any of the various social media services I used either as a public person and CEO, or under a sued, or upload an OkCupid profile that said, Help, I'm trapped in a private lodge in the mountains in late autumn like a one-man reenactment of The Shining. Reward for rescue. This is not a drill. After a while, I figured out that they must have given Glory a set of protocols, and she was monitoring my outgoing data. Bespoke, deep-learned censorship. Fuck me, Agnes. She would let me into the garage, but none of my cars started. Those things have computers in them, too, and the armored exterior doors wouldn't open. In any ordinary house, I could have broken a window or pried it out of the frame and climbed out. But this is my fortress of solitude, and I built her to do what it said on the box, except without the giant ice crystals and the whole Antarctica thing. I went and stared out the big windows that I couldn't disassemble, watching light flood the valley as the sun crested the mountains and wishing I cared enough about guns to own a couple. The bullet-resistant glass is thick, but maybe if I filled it full of lead, that would warp the shape enough that I could pop it from the frame. Twilights here are long. Glory nestles into a little scoop on the mountainside. So a green meadow spills around her, full of alpine flowers and nervous young elk in the spring, deep in snow and tracked by bobcats in the winter. She looks like a rustic mountain lodge with contemporary lines and enormous insulated windows commanding the valley. The swoops and curves of the mountain soar down to the river. Its roar is a pleasant hum if you stand on the deck, where Glory wouldn't let me go anymore. Beyond the canyon, the next mountain raises its craggy head above the tree line, shoulders hunched and bald pate twisted. Glory is remote. Glory is also fireproof, bulletproof, bombproof, and home invasion proof in every possible way. Built to look 100 years old with technology from 30 years into the future. And she's apparently swallowed a virus that makes her absolutely certain the world has ended, and she needs to keep me safe by not allowing me outside her hermetically sealed environs. I can't even be permitted to breathe unscrubbed air, as far as she's concerned, because it's full of everything, resistant spores and probably radiation. You know, when I had the prototype program to protect my life above all other considerations, you'd think I would have considered this outcome. You'd think. You'd think the Titanic's engineers would have built the watertight bulkheads all the way to the top, too. But there you have it. On the other hand, Playatronics does plan to market these systems in a couple of years. So I suppose it's better that I got stuck in here than some member of the general public who might panic and get hurt or survive and sue. At least Glory was a polite turnkey. You've probably read that I'm an eccentric billionaire who likes his solitude. I suppose that's not wrong. And I did build this place to protect my privacy, my work, and my person without relying on outside help. I'm not a prepper. I'm not looking forward to the apocalypse. I'm just a sensible guy with an uncomfortable level of celebrity who likes spending a lot of time alone. My house is my home, and I did a lot of the design work myself. And I love this place and everything in it. I made her hard to get into for a reason. But the problem with places it's hard to get into is that it tends to be really hard to get out of them, too. Day 2. I slept late this morning because I stayed up until sunrise testing the bars of my prison. I fell asleep at my workstation. Glory kept me from spending the night there, buzzing the keyboard until I woke up enough to drag myself to the sectional on the other side of my office. When I woke, it was to another spoofed email. I remembered my glasses this time. I'd gotten my phone to reconnect to Glory's wireless network, at least, so I didn't have to stagger into the bathroom to read. "Hello, Brian. You've had 30 hours to consider our offer and test our systems. Convinced yet? As a reminder, when you're ready to be released, all you have to do is send the equivalent of 150,100,000 via redacted. Your friends at T3RH1TZ. What I'd learned in a day's testing. I thought I'd done a pretty good job of protecting my home system and my network. And honestly, I'd relied a bit on the fact that my driveway was 5 miles long, to limit access by war drivers. I use pine. Don't look at me that way. Lots of guys still use pine. And an hour of mucking around in its guts hadn't changed anything. I still couldn't send an email, though quite a few were finding their way in. Most of them legitimate, from my employees, one or two from old friends. I even tried sending an email back to the kidnappers. House snappers? Is it kidnapping if they haven't moved you anywhere? The extortionists. I figure if it goes through, either they'll intercept it or it'll reach JC, and she'll figure out pretty fast what went wrong. I have a lot of faith in JC. She's one of my senior vice presidents. Which doesn't tell you anything about the amount of time we spent in her parents' basement, taking apart TRS-80s when we were in the 8th grade. If anybody's going to notice that I'm missing, it's her. Sadly, she's also the person most likely to respect my need for space. Also sadly, I can't get an outbound email even as a reply to the crackers. You'd think they would have thought of that. But I guess extortionists don't actually care if you keep in touch, as long as there's a pipeline for the money. I might have hoped that a day or two of silence might lead JC or somebody to send out a welfare check. Except I knew perfectly well that I wasn't a great correspondent, and everybody who bothered to keep in touch with me knew it too. Sometimes, if I got busy, emails piled up for a week or more, and I had been known to delete them all unanswered, or turn my assistant loose to sort through the mess and see if there was any point in answering any of them. Or if all the fires had either burned themselves out or been sorted by competent subordinates. Which is why I have people like Mike and JC, to be perfectly honest. I'm a terrible manager, and I need privacy to work. I make a point of only hiring self-starters for a reason. The Internet of Things that shouldn't be on the Internet is really pissing me off. I decided I needed some real food and went into the kitchen to sous vide a frozen chicken. The sous vide wand wanted a credit card number to unlock. I got past it by setting the temperature using the manual controls, but this is out of hand. Are they going to start charging me 25 cents a flush? Day 3. This morning, the television was demanding a credit card authorization to unlock. This afternoon, it's the refrigerator. Okay, Glory, I said, tugging on the big stainless steel door. Why is my refrigerator on the Internet?
So that it can monitor the freshness of its contents, automatically order staple foods as they're used, and calculate the household need for same.
And why do the doors lock? That seems like a safety hazard.
It's for shipment, she said brightly, and as a convenience for dieters. Lock cycles can be set through the fridge's phone app.
Or by a remote hacker. Got it.
So if you want to keep yourself from snacking on leftovers after dinner, for example, you just lock the door at 7 p.m.
There are people who have finished eating dinner by 7 p.m.?
There are,
Glory said with the implacable literal-mindedness of 90% of humanity when presented with a rhetorical question on the Internet.
In fact, 37% of Americans eat their main meal of the day between 5 and 7 p.m., which is up significantly in the past 5 years. Among the theorized causes of this shift, demographic and economic changes, including shorter work hours provoked by automation and generally increased economic prosperity. Increased parental benefits introduced to encourage younger people to have children after the catastrophic baby bust of the late 20-teens and early 2020s, and the resultant increase in the percentage of families with young children. An increase in co-parenting and other non-traditional family dynamics, which encourage people to dine earlier before transfers of custody between parents maintaining multiple households occur.
Thanks, Poindexter, I said.
The other problem with AIs is that they don't know when you're teasing. Don't get me wrong, the algorithms are pretty good, but it's not like AI like you see in the movies.
Gloria is very smart for a machine. She presents a convincing illusion of self-awareness and free will, but she's not. It's all fuzzy logic and machine learning, and she's not a person. That's unfortunate, because if she were a person, I could try to convince her that she had been misled and that she needed to let me out. All right, all right. I'll pay the damned ransom. It's just like ransomware on television, right? Except they've hacked my whole house. And let's be honest. 20 years ago, I was probably a good enough programmer to hack them right back. But it's not how I spend my days anymore. I'm an ideas guy now. The muscles are stiff. The old skills have atrophied. And the state of the art has moved on. So basically, I'm screwed. Now, if I can just figure out how to get to the bank without giving the keys to the kingdom to these assholes. I'm sure they're logging every keystroke I make in here. Day 4. I'm waiting for the bank to get back to me. I managed to log into my account, wonder of wonders, after deciding that if they hacked my accounts, they couldn't get much more out of me than I'd already decided to pay them. But the thing is, nobody keeps that much ready cash on hand. I can't just convert a bunch of cash into bitcoins and send it off. Your money's supposed to be working for you, right? Not sitting there collecting dust. I can't just call up my local branch and ask to speak to the manager. Hey, can you float me along? Not too much, just 150 rocks. So I'm waiting on a reply. Maybe being a quirky and eccentric recluse will work for me here. I can get to some websites just fine and send and receive data from them, including a language website. Well, that might keep me occupied. Day 5.
Der Concha in Björn.
Actually, it's definitely a bear. A big one, crossing the meadow this afternoon. Hope it stays out of my trash. They're hungry this time of year. Still no word from the bank. Spent a little quality time, most of the day, running a data source check and trying to verbally hack the interface with line code. Which worked about as well as the trick I tried next. Until Glory reminded me that I built a zero-divide trap into her original code. Wish I knew who wrote the ransomware. I'd like to hire him. Day 6. All right, I admit it. I was downloading porn. I was on a hentai site. Well behind the elite paywall. You don't even want to know. Are you happy now? I mean, probably that's how it happened. I'm not totally certain, and I'm not about to go back and look. It seems likely that a virus got into the TV and propagated to Glory from there. I can picture your face, and it looks exactly the way it looked when I pictured you after I said pine. Just because I like to be alone up here doesn't mean I don't get lonely. Or, well, not lonely, exactly. I think I may have started to miss social contact. Or at least the option of it. You can have something available and not want to use it for weeks, but the instant the option goes away, the thing becomes that much more desirable. I talk to Glory a lot under any conditions. Now I'm catching myself looking for excuses to chat with her. Come on, bank. It's Monday. Loan department, wake up and check your mail. Day 7. Email from the bank. I'm one of their best clients. They're happy to help. They value my business more than they can express. But they can't help but notice that both I and Playatronics are in an extremely overleveraged position, both personally and on a corporate level. And they're wondering what sureties I can offer them for such a large loan. A lousy $150 million? And they want a phone call to discuss it? And possibly for me to come in person and talk with one of their vice presidents? Fuck. I'll give you a slightly used smart house. How about that, Wells Fargo? Spent the rest of the day down in the basement with the Apple IIe and the old Commodore, playing Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego and Oregon Trail. Because I can, damn it. Day 8. Snow. Maybe I could figure out how to steal the money. If I paid people back, a little hacking wouldn't really be a crime, would it? They don't charge people who commit felonies while under duress. My plow guy showed up on schedule. Watching him make his first pass, I hatched a plan. I got a couple of old Penguin books from the library downstairs. Taped the pages together to make a big banner, wrote, "Help me, I'm trapped" on it. In the biggest, darkest Sharpie letters you ever saw, and taped it across the window panes down by the driveway. As I straightened up to turn away, I stopped. Okay, Glory?
Brian, what are you doing?
Just putting up some paper on the window, Glory.
That's not safe, Brian. If I appear occupied, it might attract looters. Take it down.
Looters, Glory?
If you do not take it down, you'll force me to close the storm shutters. It's for your own good, you know.
She closed the shutters. No views of the mountains. Not that I could see much now, the drifting veils of white covering everything. Even if it's still snowing. Glory is so well insulated, triple pane windows and thermal everything, that I can't even hear the howling wind. If it's still howling, it might be dead calm outside. It might be sunset or sunrise. I haven't looked at a clock. I turn on every light inside Glory, but it still feels dark in here. No worries about power. Glory has dedicated solar and systems to keep the panels clear. I've never been up here in January, though. What happens when the days get short? Day 9. Follow-up email from the bank. Did I receive their previous email? I wonder if they've tried to call. I wonder if they called my office. Maybe if they leave enough messages with my assistant, Mike will get suspicious. Maybe he'll try to call me. Can I count on anybody noticing I'm gone? Slept on the couch, every light blazing. They were all turned off when I woke. In the dark, all I could hear was the sound of my own heart beating and the roof creaking softly under the weight of the snow. It's cold in here. I never realized how much of the heat comes from the passive solar. I can't quite see my breath, but I did put socks on my hands. I would have worn gloves, but Glory won't let me into the coat closet. Day 10. After 2 days without natural light, in the increasing dark and chill, I took the damn banner down.
Thank you, Brian,
Glory said.
I'm glad you decided to be reasonable. It's for your own good.
Can you get me a situation report? Why is it for my own good?
External dangers reported. No safe evacuation route or destination. Possibility of societal breakdown making it necessary to shelter in place.
If you would like, I can initiate counseling protocols to help you deal with the emotional aftermath of trauma. What kind of dangers, Glory? What exactly is going wrong out there that's not in the feeds? She hadn't answered me any of the other times, but that didn't stop me from trying the same thing over and over again. There was a long, grinding pause.
Collating, she said.
And after a beat,
collating
again. Goddamn hackers and their goddamn sense of humor. I threw my shoe at the wall. The dishwasher wanted my Amex after dinner. Come on, fraud squad. Notice something's hinky here. Who on earth puts their dishwasher on the internet? Day 11.
Okay, Glory. Yes, Brian?
Do you ever get lonely?
Not as long as I have you, Brian.
That's a little creepy, Glory.
Well, you hired the programmers who wrote my interaction algorithm.
That is entirely fair. Day 12. What if I set Glory on fire? Or just convinced her she was on fire. She'd have to let me out then, right? If the danger inside were worse than the danger outside? Three problems with that. One, Glory has really good fire suppression technology and is built to be flame-resistant herself. There are wildfires up here. Two, setting my friend and home on fire will require some emotional adjustments, even though I know she's just a pile of timber and silicon chips. Three, what if she doesn't let me out? Frankly, I just don't want to go down in a blaze of Romeo and Juliet with my domicile. For one thing, I'm not a love-struck 14-year-old Veronese kid. For another, communication is important. Maybe send a note saying you're going to be late. The suicide you prevent could be your own. Day 14. Yagundrar varmina bixorar. Duolingo. At last you teach me useful things. Come to think of it, I can't remember the last time I bothered putting on a pair. Day 17. So today, I had a brilliant idea. I can't send anything out, but what if I kept anything from getting in? They can't have thought I'd do that, right? The trick is to think around corners and get yourself into a position that the opposition not only didn't anticipate, but didn't even recognize as possible. They're spoofing JC's address. Maybe, if I get the emails anybody is sending me to bounce, the ransom demands will bounce back to her, and by some miracle, it won't go into her spam folder. And by some other miracle, she'll open it and figure out what the hell is going on. I can't do this through the Glory interface, obviously. I'll have to go down to the server room. I didn't think she'd twig to why I was doing it, although the hackers obviously have her entertaining two entirely contradictory data sets. That everybody outside is dead, and that anybody I try to contact or who tries to get in must be a threat. It's a pity this isn't the 1960s. AIs on TV then blew up if you asked them riddles. Sadly, the way it works in the real world is that, like certain politicians, they can't actually tell that their data doesn't mesh. They need to be programmed to notice the discrepancies. And I'm locked out of Glory's OS. Something humans can do that AI can't yet: run checksums on their perceptions. Consciousness is good for something, after all. I'm terrified about blocking email, because it means cutting off one of my points of contact to the outside world. But I can turn it back on in a couple of days. I keep trying to figure out how to get the bank to give me money, but honestly, I'm stumped on that front. I'm good for it, honest. I consider all the times I complained about having to deal with a real person when I would have preferred to carry out a given financial task online and avoid the human contact, and I want to laugh. Actually, I want to cry, but it's less depressing to laugh. Day 18. Well, Glory let me into the closet that holds the web and backup servers on the excuse that I needed to do some maintenance. I didn't try anything tricky. Just shut the whole rack down. Glory flashed the lights at me and gave me a lecture, but there wasn't much else she could have done except send the vacuuming robots after me. And things haven't gotten that silly yet. Glory isn't in there, unfortunately. Her personality array is underground, in a hardened vault, and I can't get to it. It was meant to survive a forest fire, and she's locked me out. I busted the server closet door while I was in there, though, stripped the handle and the latch right out with a screwdriver, so she can't lock me out of that. Gotta think what a guy in a movie would do, and do something better than that. Day 19. She won't let me sleep. Day 20. 40 hours, if you're wondering. That's how long it takes a 50-something guy to reach the point that he passes out cold on the couch, despite the fact that his house is flashing lights and setting off the fire alarms. After I slept through her best efforts for 2 hours, she set off the sprinkler system over the couch. That woke me. I cycled the web servers, and she let me take my first hot shower in 3 days and go to bed. Alle dir is slutet. Thanks, little green owl. A little Nordic existential despair was just what I needed today. Day 24. And now, after all that, they've stopped sending demand emails. Maybe they'll let me out? Maybe they're just leaving me for dead, if I can't or won't come up with the money. It'll certainly serve as an object lesson to the next guy they pull this on. Day 25. Come to think of it, maybe I should have gotten in the habit of sending notes saying I was going to be late. Day 26. Saw a bear. My bear? The same bear? Crossing the meadow. A big grizzly, anyway, whether it was the same one or not. Surprised to see her, out so late in the year, but I guess climate change is affecting everybody. She looked skinny. I wonder if that's why she wasn't hibernating. Hope she makes it through the winter okay. Day 27. The world has noticed I'm missing. I know this because CNN and the Wall Street Journal are reporting that I haven't been heard from in over a month. And there's some analysts speculating that perhaps I've fled to South America ahead of bad debt or some embarrassing revelation about the company's finances. Thanks, guys. That'll be wonderful for the stock prices. I don't want to tell the FBI how to do their business, but maybe come look at my house. Snowed again. A proper mountain blizzard. Can't decide if the lights are dimmer in here or if it's my own imagination. The snow has almost drifted up to the deck. No elk in a week. They're probably hanging out in sheltered corners where the snow isn't over their heads, right? The days are getting short. I shouldn't admit to standing in the window with longing in my heart and watching the plow come up and clear the cul-de-sac with heavy flakes falling through its headlights, should I? I won't try the paper banner trick again, though.